Today, Fed holds and watches consumers for signs ahead. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm post covering finance and property news. Well, as expected, the US Central Bank's Policy Setting Federal Open Market Committee kept rates on hold following their latest meeting in the target range of 5.25 to 5.5%. Now, that's a 22-year high, and the decision was unanimous 12-0.
Today, we decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings. Given how far we have come, along with the uncertainties and risks we face, the committee is proceeding carefully. We will make decisions about the extent of additional policy firming and how long policy will remain restrictive based on the totality of the incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks.
As a result, the S&P 500 index and treasuries extended their rally while the dollar slipped after the announcement. And traders also marked down chances of another hike over the coming months. Officials actually made minimal changes to the statement. One tweak, though, was to upgrade their description of the pace of economic growth to strong from solid to reflect better economic data released since their September meeting. And they continued to leave the door open to another hike by repeating prior language on determining the extent of additional policy firming that may be appropriate. They said that the economy expanded at a strong pace in the third quarter compared to prior descriptions of recent solid pace growth, though job gains have moderated since earlier in the year, but remain strong after previously saying that hiring had slowed in the previous months. And they flagged that tighter financial and credit conditions will likely weigh on the economy after previously mentioning only tighter credit conditions language that could be seen as suggesting that the recent jump in long-term Treasury yields does reduce the impetus for the Fed to raise rates again. The extent of these effects remain uncertain, the Fed said, repeating that it remains highly attentive to inflation risks.
If you look at the situation, let's look at the economy first. Inflation has been coming down, but it's still running well above our 2% target. The labor market has been rebalancing, but it's still very tight by many measures. GDP growth has been strong, although many forecasters are forecasting, and they have been forecasting, that it will slow. As for the committee, we are committed to achieving a stance of monetary policy that is sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation down to 2% over time. And we're not confident yet that we have achieved such a stance. So that is the broader context into which this, the strong economy and all the things I said, that's the context in which we're looking at this question of rates. So obviously we're monitoring, we're attentive to the increase in longer term yields, and which have contributed to a tightening of broader financial conditions since the summer. As I mentioned, persistent changes in broader financial conditions can have implications for the path of monetary policy. In this case, the tighter financial conditions we're seeing from higher long-term rates, but also from other sources like the stronger dollar and lower equity prices, could matter for future rate decisions as long as two conditions are satisfied. The first is that the tighter conditions would need to be persistent, and that is something that remains to be seen. But that's critical. If things are fluctuating back and forth, that's not what we're looking for. With financial conditions, we're looking for persistent changes that are material. The second thing is that the longer-term rates that have moved up, they can't simply be a reflection of expected policy moves from us that if we didn't follow through on them, then the rates would come back down. So I would say on that, it does not appear that an expectation of higher near-term policy rates is causing the increase in longer-term rates. So in the meantime, though, perhaps the most important thing is that these higher Treasury yields are showing through to higher borrowing costs for households and businesses, and those higher costs are going to weigh on economic activity to the extent this tightening persists. And, you know, the mind's eye goes to the 8%, near 8% mortgage rate, which could have, pretty significant effect on housing. So that's how I would answer your question.
Just as a quick follow-on, to be clear on this, in your opening statement and just now, you seem to imply that you are not yet confident that financial conditions are restrictive enough to finish the fight. Is that true?
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, to say it a different way, we haven't made any decisions about future meetings. We have not made a determination, and we're not, I will say that we're not confident this time that we've reached such a stance. We're not confident that we haven't, but we're not confident that we have. And that is the way we're going to be going into these future meetings, is to be, you know, just determining the extent of any additional further policy tightening that may be appropriate to return inflation to 2% over time.
But I think we can conclude that they have a view that the run-up in long-term Treasury yields does reduce the impetus to raise interest rates again. While Powell indicated policymakers could raise rates when they meet next month, he also allowed that officials may be done with their tightening campaign. He said he wasn't yet confident enough to judge whether monetary policy was restrictive enough to bring inflation back to the target rate of 2%. It's fair to say that's the question we're asking. Should we hike more, as Powell said, when asked whether a majority of policymakers still expected another rate increase would be necessary this year? And in his press conference, Powell said financial conditions have tightened significantly in recent months, driven by higher, longer-term bond yields, among other factors. The Fed chief said previous rate hikes were putting downward pressure on economic activity and inflation, and the full effects of tightening had yet to be felt. In the light of the uncertainties and the risks and how far we've come, the committee is proceeding carefully, Powell said. We will continue to make our decisions meeting by meeting. And he also says additional evidence of persistently above trend growth, or that tightness in the labour market is no longer easing, could put further progress on inflation at risk and could warrant further rate increases, which echoed remarks that he made in New York quite recently. Policymakers repeated that in determining the extent of additional policy firming that may be appropriate to return inflation to 2% over time, they would take account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy, as well as lag effects on the economy and inflation. Heading into the decision, traders saw a 1 in 3 chance of a 25 basis point increase by the end of January. That odd dropped after the decision, and the FOMC meets next on December the 12th and 13th, and then on January the 30th and 31st. After rapidly raising borrowing costs from near zero in March 2022 to fight against inflation, officials are taking their time to assess the effects of their past rate movements without ruling out further tightening. It's worth remembering the US economy expanded by a 4.9% annualized rate last quarter. That's the fastest clip in almost 2 years, as consumers splurged broadly on furniture, travel, and other discretionary purchases. A measure of underlying inflation that's closely watched by Fed officials also accelerated to a four-month high in September as jobs gains blew past expectations. Whether that economic strength persists or slows down is one of the biggest questions facing policymakers, and the outcome has the potential to shape the direction for inflation and, of course, for interest rates. Many forecasters expect spending and growth to slow this quarter as larger debt payments, lower income gains and shrinking cash piles weigh on households. And tentative agreements between the United Auto Workers Union and all three of Detroit's biggest automakers removes one economic obstacle, but officials will need to monitor other possible headwinds, including mortgage rates near 8%, sidelining home buyers, a potential US government shutdown, and an escalating war between Israel and Hamas. However, other policymakers say they're concerned the surprisingly strong economy may cause inflation to remain stubbornly higher for longer than officials would like to see. But the truth is this: the surprising resilience of American consumers is about to be tested over the coming months, as rising delinquencies, growing debt payments, and dwindling cash piles do put pressure on household balance sheets. If you look over the whole year, things have been really solid, and the question is, how much staying power does this have? Said Claudia Sham, the founder of Sam Consulting and a Fed economist previously. The Fed's aggressive campaign to tame inflation has made it more expensive for consumers to take out loans to buy homes or cars and made credit card debt more costly. So far, it hasn't dented overall demand, with Americans spending broadly on furniture, travel and other splurges in the third quarter, according to that government data. And as we said, the US economy expanded at the fastest clip in nearly 2 years. At the same time, though, the savings ratio fell to 3.4% in September. That's the lowest this year. In fact, by some measures, consumers are struggling more to keep up with their bills. The delinquencies on consumer loans, such as credit cards and auto loans, are rising after falling to unusually low levels in 2020 and 21, when consumers were benefiting from full payment programs and federal aid, according to research from the New York Fed. They're now back to the levels seen before the pandemic, raising questions about whether they will still keep rising or will stabilize. After a temporary reprieve over the past 3 years, 40 million consumers thereabouts are also now set to resume federal student loan payments this month. And the share of consumers who say they're having a hard time with their expenses rose in October, according to the Census Household Pulse Survey. The increase was more pronounced for households with a college degree who earn between $50,000 and $150,000, suggesting that restarting student loan payments is the source of increased financial stress, Torsten Slok, chief economist at Apollo Global Management, wrote in a note recently. And US households spent about 9.8% of their disposable income on debt payments in the second quarter. That's up from 8.3% in the first quarter of 2021, but it's still below the peak of 13.2% reached in 2007, according to Fed data. So the budget squeeze will likely continue as income growth slows and rising rates, plus the return of student loan bills, pushes loan payments higher. Either you can sustain your spending habits of the past year or two by borrowing more, or you hold on tighter to your wallet, or you go find more jobs, Wong said. Despite the looming headwinds, there are reasons to think consumers may still have enough momentum to keep the economy chugging along for some time, economists said. Job gains blew past expectations in September, helping to power spending last month, and recent data released by the Fed showed that Americans experienced a record surge in net worth during the pandemic, laying the groundwork for resilience in 2023. Many homeowners also locked in lower mortgage rates early in the pandemic, a move that reduced their monthly housing payments and left them with more disposable income. Some people also took advantage of the forbearance programs to pay down other debt, leaving them with a cushion of available credit they can tap into if needed, again according to research released in October by the New York Fed. So, right now, we're kind of in a sweet spot and you could stay there, said Sam. Another factor to bear in mind is that once you consider that some people who changed jobs in recent years are earning higher income and that delinquencies are rising from very low levels reached during the pandemic, said Jason Furman, an economics professor at Harvard University and former White House chief economist. There's a question of whether there's a slow, easy adjustment for consumers, he said, or a Wile E. Coyote moment, whereas you sort of notice that your income is way below what your consumer spending is, and you have to make big adjustments. And to me, that is the point. It all comes back to the consumer being such a significant factor in the US economy, and by the way, in the Australian economy too. If they do manage to maintain their debt payments and their spending patterns, then this could go on for some time. But if, in fact, the debt becomes a burden, they have to cut back, then the world could change quite fast. So this is the key, I think, to understand with regard to where we go next. And frankly, the data is noisy and it's lagged. So we have to watch this one closely ahead. I also think the Federal Reserve is likely to sit on the sidelines, but there was no prospect at all of any rate cuts. In fact, Jerome Powell was very clear about this in the press conference.
The committee is not thinking about rate cuts right now at all. We're not talking about rate cuts. We're still very focused on the first question, which is, have we achieved a stance of monetary policy that's sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation down to 2% over time, sustainably? That is the question we're focusing on. The next question, as you know, will be, for how long will we remain restrictive? Will policy remain restrictive? And what we've said there is that we'll keep policy restrictive until we're confident that inflation is on a sustainable path down to 2%. That'll be the next question. But honestly, right now, we're really tightly focused on the first question. The question of rates cuts just doesn't come up because I think it's so important to get that first question, you know, as close to right as you can.
So that means that whatever happens to the consumer, you can expect interest rates to stay high for longer. And by the way, that's true in the US. It's also true in Australia. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.